All right, welcome everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship, our community outreach. We are in our series, How to Survive the Kingdom of God. Today's message is Law of Righteousness, Law of Works, and Law of Faith. It is August 29, 2021, and I am Dr. Mary Craig. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. And we come, Lord God, on bended knee, with our heads bowed in humility before you. We pray, Lord, that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That you, Lord God, would sanctify us by your word and by your spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for Jesus' life of radical obedience, perfect personal, perpetual obedience, and obedience that led to him dying on the cross in our behalf, in our place, for our benefit. And Lord God, and that he died and he was buried, he rose again from the dead, indicating that the Father accepted the offering of Jesus Christ. He offered himself as a substitutionary, vicarious sacrifice of atonement in our place and rose again from the dead. And he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Almighty, King of kings and Lord of lords, ruler over the kings of this earth with all power and authority. And he is coming back. And we give you the praise, O God. We ask that your Holy Spirit would come as the Spirit of truth to guide us into the truth of your word, as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to reveal Jesus Christ to us. And Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would move to make us holy as you are holy, Lord. We give you all the glory and the praise. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we are discussing spiritual laws from the scriptures that govern life in the kingdom of God. Jesus told us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We spoke of how to enter the kingdom of God. Now we are talking about life in that kingdom. Yes, God has laws or operating principles within the kingdom of God. To the extent that we know them and utilize them, our lives go better for us. We come to know better who God is and his ways. We discussed the law of truth. Malachi 2:6 told us that the law of truth is in the mouth. Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus is the embodiment of truth, and as our great high priest, the law of truth is in his mouth. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit, that two-edged sword coming out of his mouth as he spoke truly. We saw how Jesus spoke as he heard the Father, and he did as he saw the Father doing. This is a pattern for us as well. We emphasize the spiritual reality of the Word of God, the truth coming out of the mouth of God, the God-breathed Word. And we discuss the rule, as in heaven, so on earth. Of course, we pray for this. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But this should be a principle that is our heart's desire. As in heaven, so let it be on earth. In heaven, God rules supremely, and he is to be acknowledged that he rules supremely and has the preeminence on earth as well. In fact, over all the creation. We are to give up false idols and idol worship and worship the one true and living God. We are indeed to hallow the Father's name. Jesus spoke and did as he heard and saw his Father in heaven. In heaven, God's perfect will is done. His perfect will is obeyed. As in heaven, let it be so on earth. Now we're going to consider the law of righteousness, the law of works, and the law of faith. We're going to begin by reading from Romans chapter 9, starting at verse 30, and read through Romans 10, verse 4. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it is by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, just as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Leviticus 18, verses 4 and 5. You are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes, to live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. I am the Lord. This is basically do this and you will live. So how then is the law of righteousness kept? Sinful humanity whose flesh inclines to evil cannot do it. The answer is in understanding the law of faith. The law of faith states that one can be justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Romans 10, 1-13. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, quote, the man who does those things shall live by them, unquote. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or, who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 1-13 in the New King James Version. This brings the repentance unto life. The law of truth is in our mouths, and our hearts appropriate that truth, relying upon it, trusting it, obeying it. Romans 3, 27 and 28. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Here we see that the law of righteousness refers to obedience to God. The law of works in Romans 3, verse 27 is contrasted with the law of faith. Works of righteousness fall short to bring about the righteousness of God. Works done by sinful humans cannot fulfill the law of righteousness so as to bring us life. We fail to merit life. The law, however, is superseded by the law of faith. Faith justifies us before God such that we attain to the righteous demands of God through belief in Jesus Christ, our substitute. It's kind of funny, but recently, and this is actually more than 4 years ago recently, my husband was working on a sermon coming out of the book of Job, and it was an Easter message. You know, I know that my Redeemer lives, and things like that. And he was talking about Job and all the things that came upon Job and how Job's friends would come to him, and they were trying to find some secret sin. We were talking in the kitchen, and I laughed, and I said, oh, but Job did have a secret sin. I said, Job had that first Adam humanity sin. He had that sin that just comes down from the imputation of Adam's sin. Kind of like all of us have this secret sin that we're living with. You see, we're all in that totally corrupt club together. We're all in this humanity thing together. This is the whole point. We cannot have a righteousness by works. We cannot attain to the righteous demands of God through our own effort, through works, because we always have this in the background. We are just unable to please God, and sin has been imputed to us through Adam, from Adam's sin, his cosmic treason. So that's the sin of the first Adam, and it comes down, and it's called the imputation of Adam's sin. Adam's sin of his rebellion has been laid to our account, along with our own sin and our lives as well. Jesus Christ takes that away. He is our substitute, offering himself voluntarily as a substitutionary atonement in our place and for our benefit as surety of the covenant in his blood. We attain to the righteous demands of God only through belief in Jesus Christ. The law of faith states that if we believe God, that is, believe his word and his promise, it is accounted to us for righteousness. Romans 3, verse 31 says, do we then make void the law through faith? Do we make it void through faith? Certainly not. Absolutely not. No way. On the contrary, we establish the law. Now let's just pause to have a little bit here. Let's pause here a little bit and come up with a few what I call little ditties. One that I have come up with is this. Aha, what is it? Believe and you will see. First with the spiritual eye, then to the physical eye. And another that might help us is the eye of faith sees with the mind of Christ. We believe that what we choose to believe and our actions will reveal our true beliefs. We believe the promise of God in his promised Messiah, and we are saved, declared righteous. We believe Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside, and we receive the Holy Spirit. The scripture tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have believers believe in Jesus Christ. They believe Jesus, and they believe what Jesus believes. And so the righteousness of Christ is imputed or laid to the account of the believer And it's called the Life Exchange of the Covenant. His life for ours, and our life is, and especially all the sin and all, you know, whatever our record is, and it's tainted with sin, which means it's just, the sin just permeates everything, like pouring cyanide into whatever water or some other thing, permeates it. It's all bad. Or we might use, this really happened to me. I was cracking eggs into a bowl. I was going to use 6 eggs, and this is pre-cholesterol testing. And I got 5 eggs in there, and I never thought, oh, you know, how many times have you gotten a bad egg? Okay. So the 6th one, I actually cracked open the egg, and it was black inside. I mean, it was rotten. It was a rotten egg. I mean it. It was totally rotten. But it was too late. That rotten egg stuff went into the batch of eggs, and so the whole batch of eggs was ruined. The whole batch was ruined, and I had to start over. Well, that's kind of how sin is. We have Adam's sin of cosmic treason, and then we have our own added to that, and we are finite in addition, and there is no way that we can, in our own, by ourselves, we cannot, I don't care how holy we think we are, God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. He is holy. And so we, and he's all of that in his being. He just is. And so our sin is this great, grievous offense against the holy God. And truly only another infinite can cancel out the infinite heinousness of sin. That's what we have to see. I don't care how far up you think you can climb that mountain or whatever to reach God. No. We receive by faith the righteousness of Jesus Christ like a garment. We put on this righteousness of Christ as a garment of righteousness. And it's over all our other stuff, so clothed in that righteousness and kind of having our fire protection suit as it is, and being covered by the blood of Jesus, then the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. We're sanctified by the Word and by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 11 tells us that faith governs all. By the word of God, the worlds were framed. We are to believe that God is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. We have heard testimonies. You can ask someone who is a born-again believer their testimony, and to testify that God is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. We believe what God says, and we are assured that it will come to pass. God is faithful, and he also shall bring his word to pass. We are convinced that whatever the one true and living God says is so. We read the word and hear it in our ears. We attend to it in our heart. In other words, we pay attention. We listen up. Our minds grasp and hold on to that word. Deep inside where we live, the word also lives. We believe. We operate on that belief system. We do not doubt. The true believer believes in Jesus. And again, believes Jesus and believes what Jesus believes. James 1, verses 5 to 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Boiling it down, God is holy, and his way is holy. His law is holy, spiritual, just, and good. The demand of God's righteousness is obedience, that perfect, personal, perpetual obedience, which was accomplished by Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all righteousness. But Adam sinned. He believed another word. He believed another wisdom. And in doing so, he rejected the wisdom of God. He rejected Christ as the wisdom of God. He did not trust and believe what God said. Half God said, he was like, I don't know, you got a better word for me, or whatever. And he believed another wisdom and another word, and he plunged humanity into the estate of sin and misery. That's what we call it. Therefore, the scriptures say there is none righteous, no, not one, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So basically, we're in trouble, folks. We're in trouble. The law cannot give life. It stands there as the standard of God's righteousness. It says, do this and you will live. But we cannot attain or merit eternal life. And don't start saying, well, it's your fault, God. It's your fault. You made me. That's just the way I am. Please don't do that. Please. Just be very reverent before the Creator and Sovereign of all creation. Please. When someone believes in Jesus Christ truly, he is clothed with the righteousness of Christ because of what Christ has done. Christ died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We believe it and put our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ alone to make us acceptable to God, who is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being. Wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. We get back to the Father only through and by Jesus, the Beloved, the Anointed One, the Messiah. In him, in Jesus, is life. The Holy Spirit is the life maker, the life producer. Eternal life is a gift, a free gift, to all who believe in Jesus, to all who believe him and believe what he believes. Now, there's a lot more, and we'll be talking about it, but I want to say, and I know this is a short, much shorter message, but let's remember the Lord our God, and I want to end with Titus 3, verses 3 through 7 from the New King James Version. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Titus 3, verses 3 through 7. And to this we say amen. And let's close and pray. Or let's pray and close. Father God, we come before you, and we know that you give grace to the humble. You resist the proud, but give grace to the humble. And Lord, so we humble ourselves before you. And no matter where we are or think we are in the Lord, oh God, let us remain in all humility before you. Every day we must acknowledge you. You are the sovereign Savior. Jesus came first as a suffering servant. He came as a little baby, vulnerable, yet protected by every prophetic word, by you, Lord God, as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and myriads of holy elect angels. But he was a little baby. He started out that way. And as the infinite God-man, as a divine person with a divine nature, took on a human nature in a human body and identified with us in that way. And Lord, he suffered. He's a suffering servant. But he's not that now. His work is accomplished, finished. And Lord God, let us keep the Lord, remember the Lord our God, that Jesus Christ is now sovereign Lord, sovereign Savior, a sovereign King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he rules over the kings of this earth and over the nations. And he lifts one up and puts another down. He is Lord with all power and authority given to him. And it is because of that that we go forward in his name by your grace, O God, by grace. And for your glory. And we thank you, God. We thank you. And Lord, help us to see all that we have in Christ Jesus. Help us to see all that we are in Christ Jesus, Lord. And let us not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are perishing. And the message to them is repent or perish. They are perishing. And help us to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us with plain speech, with clarity, and with conviction, because we know it. We know it. We know it. And Lord God, we thank you today. I pray for every person to call in all of the elect from the north, the south, the east, and the west, from every tribe, from every language, from every ethnic group, from every social class, from every economic class, from every whatever their politics are, from one government to another around the world. We call in the elect. And Lord, we ask you for laborers in the harvest. We know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And Lord, we thank you whenever you are pleased to show us mercy and kindness and grace, and do everything from big miracles to little miracles, big grace, great grace, to the small grace, the smallest graces. And we see it all the time if our eyes are open, looking for you, looking for you every day, keeping our eyes on you. And Lord, we trust you will get us there. You will get us from here to there. You are the faithful God, and you also will do it. And we bring this prayer before you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, everyone.